worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly they had called to mind that country from which they had come out. They would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the individuals, the people that we find in the word of God that stand as role models in so many ways of how to know you, how to serve you, how to glorify you. Thank you for the men and women of God that served you, and thank you, Father, for the ways that they, in many ways, teach us how to follow you. We learn from the exploits that they did in your power and in your wisdom and in your grace, and we learn from their mistakes as well. But thank you for the many ways you teach us and empower us to be more faithful disciples as we read and study and meditate on your word, listen to you and your spirit as you teach us, guide us, and mold us to be more and more like you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Oss is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, thank you for the gift of faith. It is in the list of gifts of the Holy Spirit, and without faith, we can't please you. We just heard that in the passage read. And God, you have given us plenty of reason to have faith, a whole book of your truth. And we love your word. We love your truth. And we are glad, I am glad, Lord God, that you have given me faith. You've told me about you, and you've let me know you. And thank you, God, for the faith that you have given me. And I pray, Lord God, that others would catch that faith as they hear this program, and that you would help us to share our faith with others as well, so that they can better understand who you are and what you are doing for us, the creator and sustainer of all things. Not only have you made a wonderful place for us to exist, but you have made a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to live for eternity in your presence. And Lord God, there is nothing greater than that. And thank you for the faith to know that that is true. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. Again, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And, you know, let me say very, very much at the outset, obviously, I'm going to share some things that will clearly apply to men and helping and encouraging men to be stronger in their faith and walk with the Lord. But to be quite honest with you, lots of these things would apply to women as well as we simply follow the Lord. But there is a great need for so much more ministry to be directed towards men in our culture. We see where the devil is trying to attack and destroy men and in their perspective on what Christian and real manhood really, really looks like. So we're looking at this topic again, the topic Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. Hope that you will listen, that men will learn, but obviously women will learn from many of these insights as well. But also these are truths and insights we as parents are wise to learn from in order to pass on to our children and to our boys in particular. So first I want to read from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very simple, but a very straightforward verse. Again, Mark 1, 35, it says this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Now, of course, this is talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Early in the Gospel of Mark, it points out that Jesus in his earthly ministry was a tremendous man and servant of prayer. Now, if Jesus, who is God and the Son of God, needs to pray, how much more do we realize we certainly need to be people of prayer as well? And I believe one of the most outstanding characteristics of a Christian man should be obviously him knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but also being a man of prayer, a person given to prayer. There's so many things that we will only accomplish as we live a life, a prayer-filled life as a follower of Christ Jesus. So may every man listen, learn that we're wise to pray for your prayer life, to pray that God would bless it. Lord, thank you, Lord, for all of us as men. And Lord, thank you for all of us as men and women as well. Thank you for each and every one of our prayer lives. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives, Father, indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying people, the praying church you've called us to be. Set our prayer lives on fire and anoint them with the anointing we need for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And so I want to take time now specifically to pray a prayer that's found in one of the prayer tools we should talk about. The article is titled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And actually, we've had a good number of listeners to email us to get a copy. We're glad to share it with you. Please do. It's a prayer specifically that husbands can pray for their wives. And then there's a prayer that the wife can pray for her husband. Please email us to get a copy because it's a great and a very fruitful prayer to pray that lines up largely with the Word of God for your spouse. And I'm going to take time. I'm going to pray for my wife and as well as take time now only be praying, obviously, the one, the husband's prayer for the wife, but there's one, the wife for her husband as well. Again, email us to get a copy. Let's take time to do it now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife is to me, to our family, and to the church in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Bless my wife, Birdie, today. Indeed, expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, help me this day, Lord, to be the full blessing to her that you want me to be. In Jesus' name, fill her day today with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, joy, and peace today. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you want her to spend today. In Jesus' name. Help her to put you first in her life. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life today. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet in Jesus' name. Empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life in the name of Jesus. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you would have her to be. And in your will, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And thank you for the gift my wife, Birdie, is to me. Dear Lord, bless her and keep her. Make your face to shine upon her and be gracious to her. Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me say in the way of encouragement to every husband listening. Again, I would encourage you to email us to get a copy of the prayer. This is a very productive prayer to pray for your wife every day. Husbands, your wife needs your prayers. She needs your prayers. And no one can pray for her quite the way you would outside of Jesus himself, obviously. So it's wise for you to pray daily for her. She needs your prayers. Your wife has struggles sometimes that obviously our wives have struggles that we may not know about. But you know, the Holy Spirit knows about them. And so when we pray for them, faithfully and put them in that Lord's hands through prayer, God knows how to minister to her mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one or nothing else can. So husbands, let's pray daily for our wives. That's a wise thing for every godly Christian husband to do. Pray diligently for your wife each and every day. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession today as we're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. We'll be right back.
I
From the group Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. Again, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And we read for you earlier Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Hebrews 11 is a good chapter for Christian men to read often. Obviously, it's a good chapter for believers to read often. It's a reminder of the critical place faith plays in the life of every believer. You know, the Word of God lets us know without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you fast, or no matter how much money you give to the kingdom of God, if you don't act in faith, you cannot please God at all. So apparently faith is extremely important. So you and I are wise to be students in the school of faith who never, ever graduate, always learning more about how to grow our faith, how to put it to work, and how to honor the Lord in the way that we put our faith in gear in life, in the way we turn the switch of faith on as a lifestyle and on a daily basis in our lives. Again, we're looking at the topic, again, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. I want to share an article that we've shared in the past entitled Jesus, the Answer to Everything, but a reminder that the single most important factor in the life of any man is Jesus. It's important that we know Jesus, that we have him, have received him as Lord and Savior, because in all of life, if a person, no matter what else they accomplish, if they never accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, sadly, their life is a tragic failure. The most important thing in life is Jesus, knowing Jesus and living for Jesus Christ. The purpose of life is knowing Jesus and living for him. So don't miss your purpose. It's being plugged into Jesus and living for him. So this article, again, is entitled Jesus, the Answer to Everything. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In Matthew 1, 23, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Luke 2, 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And just for your info, this is an article that was written around Christmas time, and so it's Christmas related, but also related, a message that can be heard year round. As we read the joy and grace-filled stories of Christmas found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, one truth is clear. Some of the key people in this blessed story are overjoyed to come and find the babe, Christ our King. They're excited, full of joy, and filled with wonder and awe because they've had the great privilege to see the Messiah, Christ, the answer to all of the world's problems, has come into the world bringing salvation, peace, and goodwill. In Genesis chapter 3, the sin problem entered into the world, bringing with it a host of other problems and issues. When Christ came into the world, he came as the answer to all those problems. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, John 3:16. God loved us so much that he was willing to give the best that he had, his Son, Jesus Christ, to come, live in this world, die on the cross in order to make a way for us to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ did just that. The truth is that All of us as human beings have a longing in our hearts to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sadly, just many human beings just don't fully realize it. The story is told of a man who, when drafted into the army, picked up this very strange habit. He'd walk around inside and outside the barracks, and every time he'd see a piece of paper, he'd pick it up, read it, and say out loud, "That's not it. That's just not it." After a few weeks of hearing about the soldier's strange habit, the company commander called him into his office and said, "Private, what's your problem?" The young soldier responded, "Sir, I don't have a problem." The commander then asked, "Well, what is it that you're looking for when you're looking at all these pieces of paper that you're finding and reading?" "Well, sir, I don't know what I'm looking for, but every time I find and read these pieces of paper I come across, I realize it's not what I'm looking for." The company commander questions him a little further and then dismisses him. The young private continues his strange habit for a few more weeks, and finally the commander had had enough. He called the young soldier into his office, and he told the young man, "Soldier, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. The army can't afford to keep soldiers like you. If we had an army full of soldiers like you, we'd have a messed up army. We're just going to have to let you go." Commander pulled out of his drawer some papers that said "discharge" across the top, signed them and handed them to the young man. The soldier took one look at the papers and then yelled at the top of his lungs, "That's it! That's it!" The moment he realized the paper said he could get out of the army, he realized that's what he'd been looking for all the time. Well, again, like that soldier, many people are looking for something, and many times they don't fully know what they're looking for. Many times they're looking for meaning and fulfillment in life, and they just can't seem to find either one. Many look for them in all kinds of wrong relationships. Some of them look for them through a bottle or through a needle. Some look for fulfillment in thrills and excitement from things they pay to do or to see. And time again, when many of these individuals make the step in their lives to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life and are born again, something inside of them cries out with all its might, "That's it! That's it! Jesus Christ is what I've been looking for all the time." If you find yourself searching for meaning, fulfillment, and purpose and direction in life, and you've looked and looked but just not found what you're looking for, then look no further. Jesus Christ is the answer. Would you take the step in your life to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life today? Today is a good day to meet the one who is and has the answer to all of life's questions and issues. Today is a good day to ask Jesus to come into your heart and live inside you and make you brand new. If you'd like to make that step, would you take time right now to pray this prayer and commit your life to Christ, even this moment? Would you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer, we want to get in touch with you. We'd like to share some literature with you to help you, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared, the article again is entitled "Jesus, the Answer to Everything." Same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, we're looking today at the topic of biblical insights on Christian manhood. And keep in mind, the Word of God is a wonderful manual for any man to grow, that wants to seek to grow to become a strong, God-honoring man. So we encourage you, if you don't have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, the Creator of the universe is spending time one-on-one with you. If you want to listen to God for 3 minutes, open your Bible and read. God will talk to you for 3 minutes. If you want to have a conversation with Him for 30 minutes, open your Bible and read. He'll talk to you for 30 minutes. If you want to talk to Him for an hour, open your Bible and read. He will talk to you for an hour. If you want to talk to Him for 3 hours, God will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him. And remember, when you're reading the Word of God, God's not just giving you information. He's pouring wisdom, grace, power, peace, joy, and strength in your heart, your mind, your life. You need that. I need that. We all need that very, very much so. I want to take time now to share another article entitled Biblical Images of Manhood. Again, this article is entitled Biblical Images of Manhood. In the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, there are many truths, insights, and stories that help to paint a picture, a portrait of sorts of what a real man is. They specifically paint a picture of what a godly man is. Now, I should say very quickly, there's only one man in all of the Word of God that perfectly paints such a picture for us. That man is, of course, the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone stands as our only perfect role model. He's the only man who lived a perfect life without sin in the Word of God. There are, though, other individual characteristics that we find in some of the other men of the Bible that are definitely characteristics to be desired. A number of these traits could be appreciated by any and all men. In looking at the lives of many characters in the Bible, we learn important attributes and characteristics that we as men of God should seek to attain or receive into our lives as well. Also, in this day and time, there's a tremendous need in the world for a clear understanding of what a real man, a godly man, really is. And there is an outstanding need to paint a picture, a portrait of what a godly man looks like based on the wisdom of God's precious word. What are some of the biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us see and define what a godly man looks like? Well, let's look at a few. He has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16, Romans 10:9, and he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. Next, he seeks to read the Word of God daily. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105. Then, thirdly, he spends time in prayer daily. See Mark 1:35 and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Next, he seeks to have time daily to bring his family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word of God, and pray together. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Next, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. See Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. Proverbs 2, 1 to 9, Proverbs 3, 1 to 2, and Proverbs 4, 1 to 6. Next, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as to worship service on Sundays, Bible study on Wednesdays as well. See Joshua 24, 15, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Next, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life. Whatever that calling might be, see Romans 12, 1 and 2, Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Next, he works hard to provide for his family. See 1 Timothy 5, 8. And keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. See Genesis chapter 2. Next, he's a protector for his family. See Matthew 1 and 2. Next, he lives the life of a good role model for his family, before his family and others. See Joshua 24, verse 15. He has the wisdom and courage to take responsibility to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and does not run from responsibility. See 1 Chronicles 12:32. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and the maturity and authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man, a Christian man, is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious. They are to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of women. He respects women and will not be involved with a woman sexually unless he's won her heart and put a ring on her finger in marriage first. Boys ask questions while real godly men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while men get married. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time while men recognize the importance of and the value of education. They desire to be educated in order to gain a skill in order to reach their full potential in life. The world in which we live is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Pray that God will raise up many of them who understand the important place and call of God upon them to be men after God's own heart in their home and in society and culture as well. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the
of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And our encouragement is that every man listening will seek to be a man after God's own heart, and that every man listening also, if you happen to be a father, that you will make it a goal to pass on this insight, this kind of wisdom and insight to your sons as well. And to every parent listening, again, our goal is to mold our boys to become godly men that want to live and honor the Lord all their life. So, you know, as we look to the Word of God, I think of this specifically in the Word of God. Psalm 23 is one of, if not one of the best known and best loved scriptures in all of Scripture. And of course, was penned by King David. Psalm 23 tells us these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Again, I want to share about a few individual characters in Scripture. And, of course, I want to start with the author of Psalm 23. Now, of course, God is ultimately the author of the whole Bible. He used secretaries, spiritual people to write it down. Well, King David was one of those persons. God used David to write Psalm 23. And David wrote somewhere around half of the Psalms we have in the book of Psalms. But David was a man after God's own heart. Now, what a tremendous designation for God to give a man in the Word of God. And I'm not aware that any other man in Scripture is given that same designation. Now, obviously, the only perfect role model, as we mentioned earlier, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who he's God. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has always existed. He didn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. So he's God. But also, there's a point in time in which he came into the world and became a man. And so we know about that side. And as a man, he followed God wholeheartedly, more so than any other role model. So Jesus continues to be our greatest role model. But next to him, again, there are important things, as we mentioned earlier, that we can learn from some of the men in Scripture. David is one of those towering figures in Scripture who stands out not as a perfect role model, because he did make some big mistakes, but overall his life was such that he sought God with his whole heart, and he sought to honor God, and he ran after God in his life. So David stands as a great role model, and time again, Scripture refers back to David, and David's faithfulness was so great that God, time and time again, will refer back to his promise and or promises to King David. His faithfulness stood out. Moses also was a towering figure in Scripture. Now, keep in mind, again, not perfect, but a great servant of the Lord. Well, one might ask, what is it about the individuals that are sort of huge figures in Scripture that makes them stand out the most? Well, I believe one of, if not the single most issue, of course, was their close walk with God. Their intimate walk with God, their prayer life, and or their life of staying in a close walk with the Lord. Keep in mind, God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and God uses Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them towards the promised land. It's again, Moses dies before they actually cross into the promised land, but Moses led them for 40 years. And so, but he was a great servant of God. God used Moses not only to lead the children of Israel, God used Moses to give us the Ten Commandments as well. And Moses basically pastored the millions of people that made up the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. And he was a pastor for a long, long time. Now, he had a hard go of it. He had a tough job. But the fact is, he managed to do it. And God used him mightily. Moses also wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. God used Moses to give us the Pentateuch. Now, keep in mind, that makes up right at 20% of the whole Bible. No one else comes even close to how much of Scripture they wrote. Moses wrote, like I said, right about 20% of all of Scripture, which the Pentateuch, the first five books, make up about 20%. And the next most prolific writer, actually, you probably wouldn't guess it, it's Ezra. Ezra wrote about 7% of the Bible. He specifically wrote the book of Ezra and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which make up about 7%. So no one comes even close to how much of Scripture Moses wrote. But again, one of the outstanding characteristics of Moses, he stayed close to God. He knew God. In fact, Scripture speaks of him interacting with God face to face. He would go up on Mount Sinai and spend time in the presence of God. And Moses, as someone who spent time in the presence of God, had unique blessing and grace on his life, so much so that when Moses died at 120 years of age, he wasn't sick, wasn't ill, didn't wear glasses. His eyesight was great. But the fact is, he had spent time in the presence of God, and it had blessed him spiritually, it blessed him physically, it blessed him mentally, it blessed him emotionally. He was healed and whole when he died, but it was just time for him to go home. So, again, what can we learn? What can we as men learn from Moses? Well, it pays to stay close to God. There's great benefit. Now, you might think, well, I don't have the opportunity to go to Mount Sinai and spend that time with God like Moses did. Well, not quite the same way, but you know, you can spend all the time you choose to spend in the Word of God, which is another way to spend time in the presence of God. Keep in mind, God will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with Him. And if you're wise enough to spend a lot of time reading and meditating on Scripture, the Word of God, yes, will minister to your mind, body, and spirit in a wonderful, wonderful way. In fact, in some ways, you're blessed beyond Moses. Moses did not have the Holy Spirit inside of him. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So, yes, you can allow, if you'll make the Word of God the priority God is calling you to make it, yes, God's Word will minister to your mind, body, and spirit in a wonderful, wonderful way. And amongst other things, as Psalm 103 points out then, it can help to renew your physical health as well as spiritual and emotional and mental health as well. So we can learn from Moses, who had a close walk with God. We can learn from King David, who had a close walk with God as well. We can learn from just many of the characters. Daniel was a great man of prayer, a great prophet, but a great man of prayer as well. And God uses prayer life mightily to give us the book of Daniel. And keep in mind, Daniel and the book of Revelation make up what we refer to, use that big word, apocalyptic literature, literature about the end times. But God used Daniel and his prayer life in a wonderful way, and he too stands as a wonderful role model for us as well. Joseph, the earthly father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was used of God to help raise our Lord and Savior Jesus. God, now keep in mind, the Lord Jesus is the only person all of history who was able to choose his own mother and father. Well, and he chose some good ones, a good father and a good mother. Joseph was a good role model. He apparently taught him the trade of being a carpenter, but also raised him as a godly man. Joseph also followed the Lord insofar as how to protect his family. We find in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 where God came to Joseph four times in dreams, and every time when God gave Joseph guidance through his word in the dreams, Joseph always obeyed. And so he was well able to adequately protect and take care of and provide for his family. I think of the Apostle John. He, too, was close to God, stayed close. He's the only apostle that was at the cross. After Jesus had been crucified, most of the other apostles were in hiding. But John is the only male that was at the cross. Now, the women who followed Jesus, they were at the cross. So, women, that's a plus for you. They were there. They were faithfully there. But John was the only apostle that was actually at the cross. And Jesus entrusted his mother to John. And so because John was close, God could entrust John with that wonderful and very important assignment. And John was the also, tradition lets us know that those that were against John that tried to persecute him, they even tried to execute him by boiling him in oil. Well, and they put him in and found out he wouldn't boil. God took care of him. And he preserved his life supernaturally. So I guess they decided, well, if we can't kill you, we're going to exile you on the Isle of Patmos where you'll never be good to anybody and never accomplish anything again for the Lord. Well, when you abide in the Lord, keep in mind, God will use you and make you fruitful no matter where you are. Though they might have thought John couldn't serve Jesus anymore on the Isle of Patmos, John got there and stayed close to Jesus, and God gave us through the Apostle John the book of Revelation. So again, staying close to God is a key for every man. Live close and God will use you to do exploits in his kingdom. We're all called to stay close. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have of being able to walk in close fellowship with you as we read your word every day. Open our eyes. Help us to know, Lord, that setting goals of reading your word daily and praying daily and obeying you daily, that's what you call us all to, and that's a means whereby all of us can draw close. Help us to be willing to do that as godly men and really godly men and women as well in the way we follow you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you don't have the habit of reading three chapters in your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day to start that habit. That's one of the ways we draw close and stay close. Stay in the Word. And pray for your prayer life. Pray for God to anoint and bless and prosper your prayer life. And listen to the Word and the Spirit of God and obey Him again. And God will use you more and more as a godly man, as a godly servant. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never asked Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and make that contact and get in touch with us. Again, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like to get copies of any of the articles that we shared, again, the articles of Praying Daily for Your Spouse, that article, the other article, Biblical Images of Manhood, and then the article, Jesus, the Answer to Everything, or any of the other articles we provide, we're glad to get them to you. Again, same email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.